whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The dead center of the work week. We got you. We got your back. And here I thought it was going to be a quieter night. Oh, definitely not anything quiet about this night. But as always, it keeps us busy over the next 4 hours. Looking forward to hearing from you, to talking about some of the newsmakers. And for this moment, as we start the show, a couple of stories coming out of LA that are completely opposite ends of the spectrum. The excitement about LeBron James playing in a game with his son, Bronny, first time for their family, but always so first time for the NBA to see a father and son duo on the court together in a game that mattered. But during the game, hearing the news of Fernando Valenzuela passing away. And all I know and all I've read is that he died in an LA hospital and no cause of death was shared. But I do know he was way too young, 63 years old. That's it, 63 years old. My perspective on Fernando, a couple of different things. Number one, I was real young when Fernando Mania was taking place, but I do remember it through the eyes of the adults in my life. Honestly, can't remember which ones. My mom wasn't super into baseball, so I don't think it was her. Might have been my maternal grandmother, though, because she loved baseball. And every single night, she would sit in the chair in the Youngstown, Ohio area, and she would watch. A lot of times it was the Braves because they were on nationally on TBS, if you remember. But she also watched a lot of the Cleveland games. At the time, the Indians. She was big into baseball. She loved watching baseball on TV. So it may have been through her eyes, hearing about Fernando Mania and watching games with her when I would visit so often during the summertime. I just remember that was one of my earliest, introductions or earliest experiences with baseball or really professional sports. Wasn't real big into it when I was younger. Didn't start watching pro sports until much later. Oh, great. Producer Pete, what are you in there doing? Is that you?
That's me.
Oh, all right. So are you going to leave it there? No, you're not going to leave it there. Okay. Well, let me know what you're going to do.
Checking something out.
All right. So the Fernando Mania that swept the country with baseball fans, a completely different time and place in our sports history as well as media, because there was no social media. Newspapers still gave people the breaking news, if you will, the morning after. And people followed fewer teams nationally because there were only so many options to watch or to listen to on TV and radio. And so when you have fewer networks, fewer games on national TV, and they end up focusing primarily on a handful of teams, well, people all over the country get involved in what's happening with the one team or the one storyline. And people were captivated by this Mexican pitcher who came in to Major League Baseball as a 20-year-old and was able to, I think he started the season 8-0 that year. He was such a novelty. He's the only one ever to win Rookie of the Year and Cy Young and World Series MVP. And he was a personality. Maybe you've seen the video of him being on the field and the woman running out into the middle of the field to give him a kiss. It was that time in American history where people could get out onto the field and you weren't necessarily thrown in jail. And actually, you wouldn't freak out when a person was running at you across a baseball diamond where she wasn't supposed to be. different than Shohei Ohtani because there's a bazillion ways to follow Shohei from all the way across the globe. And fans do, whether it's via social media, whether it's via live stream, whether it's because of the TV broadcasts. But as a Mexican-born pitcher, Fernando Valenzuela was an international superstar. I also remember another perspective, and this is once I was into the business, still working in local radio at the time, but hearing Pedro Martinez talk about Fernando Valenzuela and what an impact he had on Latin American countries, Central American, Latin American pitchers or young men who aspired to be in Major League Baseball. Thankfully, his jersey was retired by the Dodgers just last year. And so he was part of that with his family. I'm glad he was able to see that. But really, 63 is far too young. He had a lot of flair. I've heard the word character used about Fernando Valenzuela over and over. People rave about what a kind human being he was, how he never met a stranger. And here it is just a few days before the World Series begins, and he is intertwined with Dodgers World Series history. We'll hear a few of the calls from his great career. Oh gosh, I've heard it now multiple times, and it is bittersweet, not only because Fernando has passed away, but because I still miss the great Vin Scully. But Vin, the voice of some of the best moments, in fact, most of the best moments in Fernando Valenzuela's storied career, including his no-hitter in 1990. But yeah, a lot of these were on national broadcasts on Saturday afternoons around the country. And so people really got to know him and got to know what he meant to baseball and certainly the Dodgers organization. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. I'm sure many of you have your own Fernando Valenzuela memories. And while many of these current Dodgers may not have seen him pitch, if you're a Dodger, at some point you would have come in contact with him, seen him around. He was still active a lot of times at games. Even now, people sharing photos of him most recently. And as I say, they had a big ceremony to retire his number in the summer in 23. And now here they are getting set to compete in a World Series, and I'm sure we'll honor him in some way. And all the shows that will be done before and after, you'll hear a lot of memories shared about him and the impact that he had on the next generation of baseball players. So if you would like to share one at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page, and while you're there, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything as part of our hump show. Some of you are still asking me about the light. We gave you an update on last night's show, and it's part of the podcast in hour number 4. But even so, I woke up to messages. What about the light? What about the light? Someone even mentioning that sports were not nearly as important or interesting as the stories about the light, which I hope is not true and maybe an isolated opinion. But we did talk about the light on last night's show. Now you can ask me about other things. Producer Pete will be looking for your questions again at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The NBA season tipped off tonight in both Boston and LA. Just 2 games on the schedule. The Celtics raising their banner in the Garden. And actually, the final season of Inside the NBA on TNT was broadcasting live outside the Garden. So they did this big blowout, a big show in front of, hundreds and hundreds of people who were out on the plaza out in front of the Garden. And that's how they began their final year of broadcasting. Remember, that's going away with the new NBA rights. But Shaq and Charles Barkley and Kenny, just holding court there. Ernie going into their final year. So there's another piece of the NBA that people will really be paying attention to this year. Boston getting its banner and its rings. LA getting to be the site of history. And we'll hear what the TNT crew had to say about LeBron and Bronny playing together in the NBA. Maybe you've seen some of the moments in which LeBron was mic'd up, interacting with his son on the bench, asking him if he was about ready. Well, that moment came in the second quarter.
History tonight. The first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family. And what a celebration for the James family. Bronny's brother and sister, his mom on hand.
I did love that. I loved seeing the family there, and they were all out there on the court after the game. Many of you could probably say this was a gimmick. It's not fair, blah, 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 as if life is fair. The idea that Bronny would never be in the NBA if not for his famous father, one of the best players of all time with the Lakers. There's no way LA would have drafted him. You could say the same thing, and maybe you have, about J.J. Redick. There's no way he'd be the head coach if he weren't co-hosting or previously co-hosting a podcast with LeBron James, blah, blah, blah. Even if that's the case, it's a pretty cool moment to think about father and son and family, right? Sometimes we forget that these are human beings and how cool it is or would be to share a moment like this. If you're a dad and you have a son or a daughter for that matter, or you are one of those people that are big into family and would love to be able to share something like this with a family member. But we do have some sibling duos in professional sports. Those are some of my favorite stories. And I could go on and on. I don't even want to start naming any because I'll, of course, miss some and people will get mad at me. But this is something different. It's much more of a novelty. And that's why Ken Griffey Jr. took his dad to LA to be there for the game. And there were some photos. If you haven't seen it, the NBA, as well as the Lakers, they shared some photos on social. But really neat to see the picture with LeBron, Ken Griffey Jr., Bronny, and Ken Griffey Sr. out there on the court before the game started. I can imagine Bronny was nervous. And even if he's grown up in the spotlight, and as LeBron has told us in the past, he does not care what people think. He doesn't care what people say. Maybe that's more a product of his generation, or again, his upbringing and his personality and the fact that his dad has always been in the spotlight. He's never not been since he was in high school. But I was wondering whether or not he was nervous. He only played 3 minutes. So I think it was clear that J.J. Redick and the Lakers were determined to get it out of the way, so to speak. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but recognizing that it would be a very large shadow and there would be a lot more attention on the team and on LeBron and his son the longer this was delayed. And so I'm glad that they did it. It was a game that got into single digits in the fourth quarter as I was listening to it on the way to work against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lakers prevail because Anthony Davis has a monster game and a monster debut. Boy, he looks healthy. 36 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 block shots, and a steal and a pear tree. He was amazing. LeBron himself getting to check in. So they were both sitting on the bench. LeBron and Bronny come into the game at the same time together. And yes, now that it's over and the emotions, and kind of process them and move on and get focused on what's ahead. But it does make sense that they wanted to get it done tonight. And so 3 minutes for Bronny, took a couple of shots, didn't have any points. I think he pulled down a rebound while he was out there.
I'm just extremely grateful for everything. I was given an amazing opportunity to come in this league and get better every day and learn every day. I'm just extremely grateful. Going up to that scores table with my dad, checking in for the first time, that's a crazy moment I will never forget.
It's always been family over everything. And, for me, I lost a lot of time because of this league and committing to this league, being on the road at times, missing a lot of his things, Bryce's things, Zuri's things. So to be able to have this moment where I'm working still and I can work alongside my son, it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever got from the man above, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
The interview was a joint interview on TNT. Yeah, about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Bronny plays until nearly halftime. And I like the gesture, again, from J.J. Redick, from the Lakers, knowing that it was on national TV, people would want to see it. People had showed up there for this express purpose. But if I were in Bronny's shoes, I think even despite my upbringing and knowing this was coming, I would still be nervous. And yeah, he said it was a crazy moment when he checked in with his dad. So LeBron was mic'd up on the bench, and as he was sitting next to Bronny, knew it was coming. Maybe they even knew at what point he would check in. But the advice that he gave his son while they were sitting on the bench, first he said, "Do you see the intensity?" I mean, Bronny barely acknowledged. I was like, oh yeah, that looks a lot like father and son. Bronny barely acknowledged, but kind of nodded his head. And his dad said, but you got to play carefree. Don't worry about that. You go out there and you play. You play carefree. His advice for Bronny as he starts his first year in the league.
It's not given to you. You got to earn every moment. And I think he knows that, he's looking forward to the progress, to the process of getting better and better every single day to be the player that he ultimately wants to be. But I'm super proud of him, and he's my lifeline, that's for sure.
If for nothing else, that father and son moment was worth seeing. And for people who don't love LeBron, and I get it, you don't have to appreciate that he gets the chance to do this with his son. And then I was thinking about Ian Eagle, who had the call on TNT, and having spoken to Ian in the past about how proud he is of his son, Noah, who is a Syracuse grad and went to the Clippers and did their radio play-by-play for a handful of years. I don't remember how many years it was before he's now made the jump to doing NFL and other big time TV games, including Nickelodeon. Remember the Nickelodeon playoff game? And just hearing Ian talk about how extremely proud he is. And then Kevin Harlan, whose daughter, Olivia Harlan Decker, she is married to a former Wisconsin basketball player. I think he's playing overseas somewhere now. But I remember talking to Kevin about how thrilled and proud he was of his daughter when she got into this, and raving about the fact that even though her name is Harlan, she wanted nothing given to her, and that she's worked really hard to be in the space where she can be a professional broadcaster. So yeah, the pride there for parents as they see their kids follow in their footsteps, but also to see their kids make it, right? So it's one thing to try it. It's another thing to be there at that same level. So I can appreciate that. I can imagine there were a lot of emotions associated with it, not just the pride, but wanting so badly for your son to succeed and have a great debut. And of course, Bronny, no matter how hard he tries, will always be in his dad's shadow, especially the fact that they're in the league together. It'd be different if this was a debut, like say Marvin Harrison Sr. and Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes, the elder Harrison is a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest receivers in NFL history, but they're not in the league at the same time. It's completely different if you're Bronny, and not only are you on your dad's roster, like you're on your dad's team, but you're having to play alongside him, right, in his shadow, because LeBron is still one of the best players in the NBA. So it's a completely different situation. I can imagine there's a lot of pressure on him, even if he doesn't feel it as much. And what are you going to say? I mean, your dad's LeBron James. It's not like you can push back. Oh, gosh, and the dynamics there with J.J. Redick and everything else. He got apparently a shower, an ice bath, if you will, after he won his first game. So I'm not sure if we have some of that reaction. That'd actually be kind of cool. Producer Pete. So there's a lot happening. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Online at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page. Coming up at the top of the next hour, so about 45 minutes away, our friend Sean Grandy, who we last spoke to after the Celtics celebrated with their duck boat parade, championship number 18. Now it's banner number 18, and I'll talk to Sean, and he's a big student of the game. So how about Carl Anthony Towns being a member of the Knicks now in this first game, or some of the other major storylines that will unfold in these early days of the NBA season? So they are off and running. Glad to have you with us. It's the Hump Show. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're just getting warmed up. Me. Oh, by the way, Jerry Jones returned to Dallas Radio on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Boston Celtics are now the winningest franchise in NBA history. 18 banners and a storied history that includes 23 retired jerseys. And of course, 6 of those rings belong to Bob Cousy. Now this special Celtic team is creating a history of its own as we enter the 79th season of the NBA.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And with that, they are off. 2 games already in the books, many more to come. The NBA season 24-25 is now underway, and Adam Silver, commissioner in Boston, to begin the banner-raising ceremony, the championship rings distributed. We'll bring back some of that sound over the course of the show, and Sean Grandy will join us just after the top of the hour from Boston. He called the end of last season. He, of course, called the start of this season, though his partner, Cedric Maxwell, was on the court as part of a celebration that brought back some of the Celtics greats from the past, including Bob Cousy. And you may hear in that montage that behind Adam Silver, the fans yelling, "Coos!" Because even in a wheelchair now, he's bright and he's still a storyteller. This is a guy who has been such an indelible part of Celtics history and Celtics lore, and he's so beloved there. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also on our Facebook page, if you want to share your questions for Ask Amy Anything, producer Pete is already on the hunt. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Marty in Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
Yes, ma'am. I think the Bronny thing is a joke. I've followed the NBA for years. But the major thing I wanted to say was, do you know of anybody better than the Howls that the fathers and sons played? I followed them for – I lived in Houston when Gordy and Mark and Marty all played together.
Mm-hmm. Father and son, you mean?
Yeah, Gordy was the right. And Mark and Marty was his sons.
I knew. I just wanted to make sure that you were asking, that I got your question. Well, it's so rare that there's only a handful who have ever done it.
Yeah, so. I didn't know if there was any others. Yeah.
Well, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., they played together briefly, right? I mean, it was about the Cincinnati tradition and Cincinnati history and that type of thing, but it was certainly at the end of Junior's career. Or, I'm sorry, end of senior, beginning of junior's career. Yeah. So but it's very rare. First time it's ever happened in the NBA. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who think it's a gimmick. But still, I still think it's even if it doesn't happen, if LeBron's not with the Lakers, I think as much as the story is that they're father and son, how about just the fact that LeBron is still playing at such a high level, enough that he can be relevant and still be great, even though his son is now old enough to play?
Oh, yeah, I think LeBron's great, but the whole deal is, like, to me, it was just ridiculous. He couldn't even hardly start for his college team.
Well, yeah, he had some medical issues and then chose to leave early. Yeah, so glad he's healthy, though. He had some heart issues, which forced him out, and definitely glad that he's healthy and able to play. So that's a big deal as well. Marty, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. Joe is in Arizona. Joe, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that same comment where I just think it's ridiculous how LeBron says nothing is ever given to you when there's absolutely no way there's anybody other than LeBron. Bronny stats does not give him any chance of making an NBA roster. So, like, I have all the respect. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., like, Griffey Jr. is one of the greatest baseball players ever. Mm-hmm. But there's no way Bronny James should deserve any sort of NBA roster spot if it wasn't for his dad, LeBron. Mm.
And I think the majority of people believe he's going to end up in the G League, that this was for the history. And honestly, let's be real about it. I think the front office for the Lakers, as much as they love LeBron and certainly want to pursue history, they've chosen that he's their priority as long as he's playing. And so in order, maybe partly to keep him there, but also to make him happy, they go out and they draft Bronny James. And it came from on high that they want this history to happen while he's in a Lakers uniform and while they're in a Lakers uniform. So it was their choice to have it happen, meaning they were going to go out and get Bronny. And yeah, maybe he becomes a good player down the road. He's certainly not at that point now, but the Lakers wanted this, not just LeBron. The Lakers brass wanted this as well.
No, I totally agree. It just seems like a cheap way to get into the history books is all. So
I gotcha.
But yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, appreciate it, Joe. Thank you in Arizona. And I don't know about cheap. Isn't that what people said about, shoot, I don't remember the year. Michael Strahan and the sack record. Marco Belletti's here in studio. What year was that?
2001.
So didn't people say the same thing about him, that mm-hmm. Brett Favre kind of fell down so that he could get the yep. sack record? Yeah, I mean, whatever is cheap or gimmicky. Fact is, the Lakers were determined that this would happen in their uniforms, and they were also determined, I'm sure, that it happened at home, which is why, you know, one of the reasons why they wanted to get it out of the way tonight, so to speak. And yeah, I hope that he does end up in the G League and is able to develop as he gets older and maybe finds himself on a roster. Certainly, LeBron maybe has a couple more seasons to go, but the idea that, you know, he's going to be always there for Bronny to ride his coattails is probably not accurate. If Bronny's going to stick, he's going to have to do it on his own.
100%.
Look, yeah.
And I understand the sentiment of the idea that, oh, he shouldn't be on an NBA roster and you wasted a second round draft. Who gets drafted in the second round?
That, like, actually makes an impact.
Yeah. Can we be realistic here? I mean, they give him away in trades like candy to be able to have money. They stash people in Europe a second. Let's not make it seem like he took away a roster spot from somebody that's oh so deserving. Like, this is not the NFL where it was a third round pick and you're like, oh, you wasted a third round pick. Stop it. Now, I get it. The idea of it's being gimmicky, I get it. The fact that it was 3 minutes pre-planned, and yes. It's the second quarter, and you knew it was coming, and the second it was done, I mean, it, you know, LeBron's done. Wife yeah. and, you know, Bronny's mother, she's already into the back. Like, they knew he wasn't going to come back. That part of it I don't like. It should be organic as part of the, you know, you should have been part of the rotation. Even if it's for one night, you're part of the rotation for that night. That I would have liked to have seen. This felt a little less than that. That part I don't like. But in reality, this 3 minutes, did it mess up your life?
No.
No, but I'm pretty sure LeBron and Bronny will remember this forever. So that part of it, I don't feel like it's that big a deal. And I don't know if he's an NBA player or not. I don't think the Lakers truly know.
No,
and the idea that everybody else really knows, you saw him play, what, 6 games at USC? Like, how many games did he play? Coming off the heart thing and everything. We have no idea. We just know he's not prototypical because he's not 6'8", 6'10". He's a tweener. He's not truly a point guard, but he's not big enough to really be a 2. So he defensively, he's good. You don't really know what his place is. I think the Lakers need to figure that out. And if he doesn't, he had one night, so be it.
Mm. I needed you in here a couple of minutes ago when I was talking about the Griffies, and I mentioned they played in Cincinnati. Of course, they played in Seattle. I was thinking about later in Junior's career when he went back to Cincinnati. Yeah, so they actually played 51 games together, and didn't they homer too?
Went back to back.
Yeah, so there were some cool moments there. I can't imagine that there's some of those same moments, at least not this early in Bronny's career, just because to have him on the court in competitive Western Conference games is likely more of a liability, and the Lakers have to know that, which is why they staged it so early and got it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it, as, you know, as you point out, as injuries thin out rosters and guys do get called up from G League, or guys do develop, or they need, 10-day contracts, that kind of thing, he has a spot where he can make an impact. But for now, yeah, I mean, it's more about the history.
Yeah, and look, this is not the Griffies. I mean, Ken Griffey Sr. was a tremendous baseball player. I mean, you mentioned the Reds. I mean, he was part of the Big Red Machine.
Like, yes.
Ken Griffey Sr., I mean, he played in a bunch of different places, but he was a contributor and a damn good baseball player. Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the better players we've ever seen and a Hall of Famer.
Phenomenal.
So the idea that, and you knew it from the second he got there, if memory serves, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't play in the minors, or if he does, he was there for a cup of coffee. Like, you knew what Ken Griffey Jr. was. He was the highest rated prospect at the time. So it was the idea that putting them together was really cool to get them to see him in the same outfield. And there's the famous, you know, clip with Griffey Jr. cutting in front of Senior to catch a ball in left center field and third out of the inning. And he's laughing at him as he runs off the field. Like, that was cool for the two of them. But you knew Junior was going to be a hell of a player, and Senior was at the end of a damn good career.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's totally different than this. I get it. We're talking about a guy that got picked again in the second round. Yeah, sure. For every Nikola Jokic, there's about 9 bajillion players that you've never heard of. So let's not, again, that's part of it. That's the only thing that I don't like that we're bringing this up with the roster spot. But yes, Bronny James is not a, you know, well thought after huge prospect. He's not Ken Griffey Jr. He's not. He'll never be.
Mostly because we don't know what he is. He's barely played in college, so we really don't have much of a sample size.
And that's part of it, because he didn't play much, and already he's on an NBA roster. Yeah. And I understand the
annoyance. Let's be fair. In real life, sometimes it's not about what you do or what you can do. It's about who you know, who you're related to.
and again, and also, too, I mean, like, Kyrie Irving barely played in college, but you knew what he was. You knew the talent that he was, and then he turned that into what he is. So it's not always, well, you have to play enough. It was just, no one really thought of Bronny James as an elite prospect. And that's where you got the LeBron James hate, and then that on top of it, and it just snowballs into all of this that has got completely out of control.
We'll get back to more of your calls. Also, if you haven't voted for the After Hours TD of the Week, the poll is at app... what? I mean, the perfect show is already out the window, so I guess it doesn't matter. At Amy After Hours, or on our Facebook page, you can do it there as well. In fact, we should let you hear the candidates again as we come back following the update. And then I say we'll get back to your calls about Bronny, also about Fernando Valenzuela. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. History made in L.A. LeBron and Bronny James becoming the first father-son duo to ever play in the NBA. Lakers a 110-103 victor over the T-Wolves. LeBron 16, while Bronny played 3 minutes in the second quarter, finished 0-for-2 from the field with a rebound. LeBron talked about the advice he gave to his son.
It's not given to you. You got to earn every moment. And I think he knows that. He's looking forward to the progress, to the process of getting better and better every single day to be the player that he ultimately wants to be. But I'm super proud of him, and he's my lifeline, that's for sure.
Nat from TNT, Anthony Davis, the heavy lifting at 36 and 16 rebounds. Also, T-Wolves reportedly extend Rudy Gobert 3 years, $110 million. Celtics, a statement against the team most considered to be their biggest threat in the East.
Jaylen Brown stepped to his right. Three in the air is good, and the Celtics have broken the franchise record for threes with 11:02 to go on opening night.
Celtics tied the all-time NBA record with 29 threes. They rocked the Knicks 132-109. Call courtesy of the Celtics Radio Network. Jason Tatum, 37, as all 5 starters are in double figures. NFL, Saints and Alvin Kamara reportedly agree to a 2-year extension, $24.5 million. Bucks lost Chris Godwin for the season, dislocated ankle. Mike Evans out at least 3 weeks with a hamstring injury, but Todd Bowles doesn't expect Tampa to be making any deals before the November 5th deadline.
To go out and get a guy to come in here and be a number one and a dominant guy, probably going to cost you half your team. And we feel comfortable with the guys we have in here now. We know what their skill sets are, and we're going to go with them right now.
Elsewhere, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel out of the hospital after dealing with pneumonia. Still unclear when he'd be able to return. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones not backtracking after a contentious interview last week. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He seemed to be annoyed by the idea that he's afraid to be under the fire from the media.
I have no issue with getting up in front of a bunch of media and people of journalism and asking the question and answering, getting questions and answering.
And Fernando Valenzuela has died. He burst onto the scene in 1981, won Rookie of the Year in the Cy Young Award. Valenzuela was 63. I'm Marco Belletti.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Seattle Seahawks.
Robinson stays in the backfield for Atlanta. Cousins scrambles left side, gets hit, goes down. Maffei, ball comes out. Ball rolling, picked up far side. It's hauled down the far sidelines. He's going to score. Touchdown, Seahawks. Derek Hall on the sack by Boye Maffei. Cousins coughs it up, and Hall goes the distance. The second-year linebacker out of Auburn, he probably has a suite full of family and friends here watching. Cousins had nowhere to go with the ball. It's knocked away from Cousins by Boye Maffei. Picked up, and Hall takes it. 36 for the touchdown. The Seahawks up 30-14.
The Green Bay Packers.
Second and 10. From the 30th, the Texans snap to Love. In the pocket, waits, lofts it, left side. Wicks got it. Touchdown!
Yes.
Dontavian Wicks on a floater down the left sideline from Jordan Love to beat D'Angelo Ross and propel the Packers back into the lead.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Here comes Hopkins. He swings the leg and thwack. We are underway. Charlie Jones catches right at the goal line and runs it out. Far side numerals nice. For the 20, 25, 30. Nice. Only the kicker can tackle nice. Him. He failed to do it. Charlie Jones down the sideline. Woo. 20, 10, 5. Oh, dive for the pylon. Touchdown!
Oh, found it.
Or did he step out first?
No, it's a touchdown.
Charlie Jones, who had a punt return touchdown as a rookie last year against Baltimore, takes it 100 yards for a game-opening score.
The Baltimore Ravens.
On second and 17, Lamar to throw. Going deep, near side. He's got Bateman open at the 5. Touchdown! Rashad Bateman! And the Ravens strike again! 49 yards from Lamar Jackson.
Those are your candidates for After Hours TD of the Week. And if you can't find the poll, it's pinned to the top of our show account at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page, still an hour plus in which you can vote. The Bengals get a 100-yard kickoff return to start the game in Cleveland. That's Dan Hoare, Dave Lapham on Bengals radio. Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio. Derek Hall with a fumble return for a touchdown on the road in Atlanta. What a dynamic moment. The Packers rally past the Texans in a game that featured multiple lead changes. Dontavian Wicks catches a 30-yard pass from Jordan Love for a touchdown. Wayne Larrabee on Packers radio. And finally, it was just one of 5 touchdown passes for Lamar Jackson, but may have been the most dramatic. Rashad Bateman on a career night hauling that one in. Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. And again, you can vote on either of our social media sites, and we'll reveal the winner coming up a little later in the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. Lots of you wanting to weigh in about LeBron and his son Bronny playing together for the first time in an NBA game. Sam is in Portland. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Amy. I think this whole discussion is ridiculous, and I want to give a couple examples outside of players and kind of shift the focus to coaching. Stephen Belichick, Bill Belichick's kid, played lacrosse most of his career at Rutgers. He was a long snapper also, but he had no coaching experience before he got hired to coach with the New England Patriots, and now he's at D.C. And let's not forget, J.J. Redick had, you know, the only coaching experience he had was coaching his son. So this isn't about experience, it's nepotism. But nepotism is rampant in a college and professional sports. And there's just a list of head coaches that have given their sons or their nephews or somebody in their family an opportunity to be a coach without ever having any experience. And the difference is, Bronny's actually played the sport. He had a medical condition. I mean, I don't know why they're giving this kid such a bad time. Yeah, it's nepotism, but you see nepotism everywhere. So if you want to talk about Bronny, you got to talk about Stephen Belichick. You got to talk about all these head coaches or these coaches in the NFL and college that got a chance to coach because of their father, not because of what they did, but because of their father. You got to talk about both, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Okay. My only response to that would be sometimes we learn by watching. And when it comes to coaching, a lot of it's knowledge, not always about playing the game, though I do understand your point. And I agree with you 100%. I don't even think it's a bad thing necessarily. The fact is that in American society, probably in all of Western society, certainly in my industry, it is far more valuable who you know and who your connections are, who you network with, than it is what you know.
Yeah, I agree absolutely, 110%. The other thing I would offer, and I hate to do this, but I think race plays into it a lot as well. You don't see this with, you know, there are far more white coaches getting those opportunities than minority coaches. And so, and that's what I do in my work around the Rooney Rule in college, is kind of identifying that and tracking it and helping to promote more minority coaches or give them opportunities. So I think race plays a factor in this as well. That's just my opinion.
All right, Sam. I don't have numbers or stats on that, but I appreciate your input from Portland. Thank you so much. Let's see if we can work in Pat real quick in Chicago. Pat, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Good.
Real quick question about the whole LeBron thing. I agree with you 100% that, you know, his longevity, you know, I think that's something to speak about as far as how he can get his son on his team. But as far as, like, you know, who the GOAT is, stuff like that, I got to bring it up. If Michael Jordan, say he had the same opportunity with his own children, but then someone like a Randy Brown or like a Scott Burrell or like a Steve Kerr or Judd Bushler and those eras of his time were available to him, would he take the opportunity to draft those players or trade for those players over his own son? I think he would in a heartbeat. And just to throw it out there about why I think he's the GOAT is because at the end of the day, it's about winning. And this 2-minute and 41-second cameo of Bronny being on the court with his dad, it doesn't affect at the end of the day, it's about winning and not about, you know, let's tune into the game to see LeBron and his son play together. That's why I always loved Jordan, because it was about winning.
I got you. I agree with that, although we don't know that, right? We don't know that he wouldn't have taken the same opportunity with his son. And honestly, Pat, and I appreciate what you have to say, honestly, this 3-minute, if you want to call it a gimmick or a show or an opportunity to make history, even if it wasn't earned, it was 3 minutes out of a season that features 82 games in the regular season. We'll do more next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.